Welcome to another episode of You Had to Be There, the podcast where we deep dive into the world of the music industry. I'm your host, Julia Gomberg. This week, I'm joined by pop singer-songwriter Jenna May. Jenna is such a brilliant songwriter and artist, and each of her songs act as a new page in her personal sonic journal. It was really inspiring getting to learn about the themes in her songs and where she draws her unique creativity and inspiration from. Be sure to check out Jenna's episode, curated playlist, and her music, which you can find all in the episode show notes. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
Hi, I'm Jenna May. I'm an indie pop singer-songwriter based in the Boston area.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I've been wanting Jenna on for a while, so this is exciting. Like you said, you are a songwriter. I've been like listening to your music. I know you had a single out called Slow Burn. So I definitely want to get into that. But I guess, yeah, like let's start kind of from the beginning. Like, can you talk a little bit about your relationship with music growing up?
Yes. I, like most people, have always loved music. And I really started, like, I'm a big Swiftie, of course. Mm-hmm. I'm a proud Swiftie. And I think even without me realizing it, like, Taylor had a big influence on me, like, musically, way before I knew I wanted to do music even. Because I just, like, I have memories of being in my room listening to, like, Speak Now and Fearless, like, on my little CD player and, like, reading along with lyric packets, with the CD packets. And so even though at the time, like, I wasn't like, I'm going to be a musician, like, that really, I think, influenced me a lot to be a songwriter. Until high school, I didn't really know that I wanted to do music because for some reason, it just literally never occurred to me. Couldn't tell you why, but the first thing I ever wanted to actually be was a writer, like specifically creative writing. But I like,
makes sense.
I just kind of like assumed that I couldn't sing, like that I didn't sound good. And I don't know why. But yeah, so it took until high school. And then I was like, yeah, okay, music.
So, right.
But I've always loved it.
I always love hearing people's relationships with Taylor Swift's music because obviously she's had such a long career and so many different, like, I guess literally eras. That's why she calls it eras, right?
Yes. Yes.
I'm not at least, I wouldn't call myself a Swiftie, but I'm an admirer and respecter. But I was going to say, like, those albums that you mentioned, like Fearless is my favorite of hers because I think also just like going through different ages and periods of our lives and like having her as sort of like a diary to reference is so cool. And like, that's what's so amazing about her career. It's like so relatable in so many different parts of your life.
Yes.
That makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely.
And so when you were like, oh, I can sing, like how did that come to fruition?
This is going to haunt me someday. Cause every time somebody asks me that, I'm like, this is so embarrassing. And it is, but it also, I own it. The beginning of high school, I wanted to be a doctor. But then I, at the same time, had decided I was going to marry Ross Lynch. And so then I started thinking, like, well, like a musician and a doctor, like, that's not a very compatible schedule. Which sounds so stupid, but that's just what made me start thinking about music. And then I was like, okay, well, music, maybe I could do that. And then it kind of like checked all the boxes because obviously writing, and I always like, you know, wrote my own songs just like to myself. I didn't actually write them down, but came up with my own things. So writing, and I've always like always wanted to make a difference in some way. So, and like help people, which is why a doctor. So then music was like the best of both worlds.
Totally.
And also it's fun to sing, obviously. So then I sent like a voice memo to my best friend and I was like, okay, like be honest. Am I terrible? And she was like, no. And then I was like, okay. So then I started working on it.
That's so funny. Yeah, I was gonna say, like, listening to your voice, it's so natural. Like, I mean, it just sounds like it's something, like, I feel like, how could you not realize? But I get that feeling of, like, I'm the most self-conscious singer. But, like, when I hear you, I would never even guess that that was, like,
part of your story.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Self-consciousness is a big part of my story.
Yeah. But I love that you have, like, and we'll get more into it, but, like, you really made it into a really, like, core part of your songwriting, it seems like. And that's such a relatable topic that I love to get into, of, like, you know, dealing with imposter syndrome or versions of that, or just like feeling behind. And yeah, I'm really excited to kind of get into more of your creative process. But that's also really funny about, like, Ross Lynch being your motivator. I hope one day you can tell him that.
Yeah. I mean, someday, you know, as I get further in my career, maybe the story will make it to him, as I say it in every interview I do.
Yes. Well, I wish I could say he's a dedicated listener to this podcast, but maybe someday
you'll hear yours
and then he'll be like, oh my gosh.
Someday. That's really funny. Yeah.
But that's really cool. And I love the correlation too of, like, helping people, or, like, I think music can be so therapeutic for the artist and, of course, the fan. So that's a really cool way of looking at it. Did you have, like, musical inspirations, I guess, aside from Taylor Swift, that influenced your songwriting?
Yes. My, like, one of my favorite artists, and that was, like, one of the artists that I was first ever, like, a fan of, is Jesse McCartney. And
classic.
Like, his first two albums are, like, if I could make an album that is to somebody else what Right Where You Want Me is to me, I, like, that would just be it. Like, I'd be like, okay, I've done my job. Like, all of the people he worked with on those albums, like the songwriters and producers and everything, are, like, some of my dream collaborators, like, for that reason.
Yeah, I'm a Jesse McCartney admirer as well. I saw him, like, maybe, I don't know, like, 6 years ago, and it was, like, one of the best shows I've ever seen, because you forget how many hits he has, and he's so...
Yes.
He's, like, a great stage presence, but it's really just the songs.
He is.
I can see that.
Yeah,
good ones. What themes would you say piqued your interest in starting to write songs? Like, early on, what were you writing about?
Definitely mental illness. you know, all of that. Like, because that's something that, like, is very, like, prominent in my life, and, like, that I've always, like, had a struggle with. So, like, writing naturally is something that helps me to, like, just figure out how I'm feeling and, like, get through it. And so especially when I was really like, okay, I'm gonna actually write a song, it's all about, like, being introspective and, like, how I'm feeling and trying to understand it. So since that constantly consumes me, that's, of course, like, what really where I started with my songwriting, where I'm still at with my songwriting, and will always be with my songwriting. So
did you feel any type of way about when you started to release the music, of, like, thoughts of, like, how it would be received? Like, did you feel like you wanted it to be sort of, like, a way to relate to other people?
Yeah, like, relating to other people. And, like, I didn't think too much about, I think, concept-wise, like, how it would be perceived, because that's one of my, that I have a lot of insecurities, but, like, the things I'm not insecure about, like, as an artist, are, like, my actual, like, writing, like, my lyrics and, like, my concepts. So I have those two things going for me. Yeah.
That's great. And testament to, like, your music. I mean, you should feel confident about it. And, like, that's brave, because that's my one thing. Like, I like to sing, but I can't sing in front of people as much as I've tried. I've never gotten through that. And so I always have such admiration. When you're, like, comfortable with writing and then you're kind of performing it, it makes sense that, like, you're so passionate about writing that when you go to, like, share it with the world, like, that part you're already pretty secure in and feel confident in. So that makes sense.
Specifically with, like, my writing about, like, mental illness and that kind of stuff, like, even in, like elementary school, I was writing that kind of stuff. So it's just very, like, natural, and I've always been very open about it. But there are, like, more, like, now I'm starting to write, like, songs about people, like, other people, and like, so, like, that's kind of horrifying about, like, people are going to listen to it and it's about, like, an actual person. like that scary, but yeah.
But I think that's really like, that's such a power too, because you're talking about them, but in like an artistic form, like it's kind of flattering at the end of the day, regardless of what
you're saying.
I feel like Taylor Swift made that like a thing, like that it's actually cool to do that. But yeah, I would imagine though, it takes a lot of vulnerability for sure. Mm-hmm. When did you decide like, okay, I can sing. So like what happened next, I guess?
I started looking up like vocal coaches on YouTube, but then I was like, I told my parents, I was like, okay, like I want to sing. Can I do lessons? And so then I went to like a local music school and started doing lessons. And then it was a very slow progression because the big beginning chunk was like getting me to open my mouth in front of others, or like, you know, letting sound come out of my mouth in front of other people. and so it was kind of a, you know, really like the beginning of my like time like with vocal lessons was like actually like being able to sing in general in front of people. So then it was kind of just working on like that, and also, you know, working on like how to sing properly, but like being able to sing, and then like slowly doing like little recitals at my school, and like you know, just trying to experience actually existing as a musician in front of people. I think the fear covers up the excitement, but
like there's similar feelings for sure.
Because like still to this day, like I like one of my biggest struggles is just like actually being in front of other people, because I just like in general I'm like so severely anxious and like socially anxious, so then performing and like that kind of stuff is like, dear God, like I'm in a room, people are looking at me, like
totally, you're being like perceived.
Exactly,
I relate to that for sure. I mean, there's a reason why I do like audio only, like video. I just feel you on that for sure. I just think a lot of people can relate to that. So how I'm kind of glad you said that, because I think that's like a huge learning curve, I would say, in terms of like performing and getting really comfortable. How has, has it gotten easier through time? Like, what has your experience with performing been like?
I mean, the more I perform, the better it is. For like a while, like in college, I think when I was a senior in college, I was like, wow, like I need to figure some things out, because it's not like I wasn't really having fun performing. I was just like, oh my God, like let's let it be over. Which is like, obviously I want to enjoy performing, because I like performing for myself. So like, I want to be able to enjoy singing for other people, since that's what I want to do. I think I've just, the more I do it, the better it gets, but also like, especially for me, but I think in general as a performer, like the more you practice, like, so you can like do your performance in your sleep, the easier it will be, because then even when you're nervous, like your body knows what it's supposed to do.
That's a good way of looking at it. It's sort of like it's like a sport almost. You have to train your brain to just get into that mode. I've never gotten there. I've only experienced what you were describing of like, it sucks because it's like it's so consuming, and like when you're comfortable performing by yourself, like there, you never have that come up, and then when you are in a different environment to sing in front of people, it like really, and you can't even sometimes enjoy the performance because you're like, I just blacked out, like I don't know, like I'm so annoyed. Like I wish I could like do that again. I completely relate to that.
I don't know that I'll ever be, you know, comfortable performing but like, but comfortable enough that I can actually remember what I did, like, you know,
totally
be present when I'm performing and not just
be present,
like,
is so that's the it. It's just like, I completely understand that. I guess like, when would you say like in the songwriting to the performing, through that whole process, if it was like a timeline, like where in that process do you feel like you're most in your element?
Definitely the songwriting.
For sure
Like sitting at my keyboard and like writing a song is the easiest and best part of it.
Do you play, so you play piano, do you play other instruments?
Yes, I play guitar very intermediately now. And I play a little bit of ukulele.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. guitar is like underratedly hard. For people who aren't in music, they don't realize that.
It's so hard. And that's why I started on ukulele. Mm. And then I started on my brother's electric guitar, since the nylon strings are not as painful and hard to press. But yeah, guitar is like so difficult. And even though I can technically play it now, not all that many chords, but it's like my brain, like the music theory for it, I don't understand it. I've tried, but I don't. Because like on a keyboard, on a piano, it's like, it makes sense. Like the notes are all one after another. And like, and it's like logical when you're changing keys and stuff. But then on guitar, it's like different frets and you can tune it differently. And then there's a capo and I don't understand it. So
I'm the same way. I played piano growing up, and then my dad like handed me a guitar one day and I was like, I don't, what? It's just so funny because I think for a lot of people, they think it's like really easy because you're just like,
no.
Yeah.
And it hurts. It hurts your hands. Physically hurts.
Yeah. You can't have long nails. It's like, I always notice Taylor Swift always has short nails because she's like always playing. Yeah.
She's always playing guitar. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's really interesting. Also, I was going to ask like, what is like music like in your family?
Yeah. My brother started playing guitar in high school, and like he doesn't do it professionally or anything. He just does it like for fun. I play his guitars because guitars cost money, so he has like a nice Taylor guitar, which, you know, those are like nice expensive guitars, and like he doesn't have space for it in his apartment right now, so that's what I play.
Nice.
He eventually takes it back, but
And what's your recording process like?
It kind of varies. Like I've recorded some of my like vocals in a studio, as opposed to like on my last two songs, I recorded vocals at home. By myself. The instrumentation also varies. So like for the last song that I did, that was the first time I like worked with an actual producer. And so he recorded all the instruments. I just did the vocals and like sent them to him.
Okay.
So that was really nice because there's guitar in it, and like I was like, it's gonna sound bad if I do it. So so it kind of varies depending on like the song.
Right. That makes sense. So was that for Slow Burn?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, that sounded, I was gonna say, it sounds really nice. Like with when the piano comes in, it's like a very, it must have been cool to like have this pen to paper concept and then it kind of coming alive in like a studio.
Yeah, it's nice to have like actual more than just like a piano on my song.
But that's really impressive, like you do it yourself. So I mean, you're independent. How do you distribute your music? I used to work for a distribution company, so I'm always like nerdy and curious about that.
I use CD Baby, and I've been
So for like those who don't know, like when artists aren't signed, they do everything, right? Like you literally are your own business manager, release strategy manager, social manager. It's a lot of work. I think people don't realize that like there are really great resources like CD Baby or TuneCore. That's where I worked, so I'm plugging it. But they make it really easy to like upload your music, but they don't do the marketing side for you. Like that's all the artist's job. You know, if you want, your music will be like up on Spotify and wherever else, but like to get people to hear it, that's a whole other side of the job, I would say, right?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask, because you have a really great social presence, I think like your artistry and like style, you have kind of a consistent aesthetic, I would say. How has that been? Do you enjoy social media? Do you enjoy the marketing side?
Well, first of all, thank you. And second of all, I hate marketing. I hate it. I didn't think that I liked it. And then I did at my previous job. And then I was like, yep, confirmed. I hate it. I wouldn't say that I really like social media. But I like creative planning. And it means like, I was like, oh my gosh, like I have a like consistent aesthetic. Wow. Like I work really hard at that. I do. That's another thing that's constantly on my mind is like my aesthetic and my aesthetic as an artist. And like, just in general, like in life, aesthetic is something that's like very much present for me. Yeah. So it's nice, especially because it feels like, you know, you really have to be posting like every day or like multiple times a day. And like, so even if you are posting a decent amount, it like, I'm constantly like, oh, I haven't posted. Like I'm not doing a good job. So it's nice that to hear if somebody thinks that I am doing a good job.
Well, I genuinely mean it, but I also completely get that. That's my experience with like podcast stuff. It's just, it's like, it feels like you're never doing enough. It's like, oh, finally got this post up. And then you're like, wait, I have to do this again.
I need another one. Yes,
yeah.
That's exactly it.
Vulnerability wise, that's a whole other level of vulnerability to like, put like a name to the face or like a face to the song, I guess, is a big part of it too. And I think social media is such a blessing and a curse for music these days. Do you have like a platform you like posting on the most?
Well, I really am truly obsessed with Pinterest. And I don't like super often like actually upload my own pins, but that's something that like just for slow burn, like I like made a board for people to look at that. I don't know if anyone did, but I like uploaded my own pins for that too.
It makes a lot of sense. And I guess it explains why you're so aesthetically minded, because Pinterest is like the aesthetic hub. But for someone who like doesn't really understand the concept of like pins and like a board, can you kind of talk about your process for that?
Pinterest is the best thing ever because it's just, it's like, I mean, you can use videos, but people usually like do just like still photos, but it's like a digital mood board or like dream board. So you can just scroll and see all these things that are like matching the aesthetic you want and put them into little clusters and look at them and make yourself happy. So
I love that.
Yeah. I don't know how many people really use it to be like people follow each other on it, but I don't know how much people actually like follow people to like pin their pins as opposed to like finding pins and pinning them. My dream is to have a big following on Pinterest. So if you're listening to this, follow me on Pinterest.
Yeah, I will. Oh my gosh. I love that. Yay. I never got into it, but like when I started using it to redecorate my apartment, I was like, whoa, it just opened. Like I think you go on for one reason and then it just, you realize how much is on it. And like, it's really interesting to hear it from like an artist perspective of creating, like a vision. So like when you were putting together your board for this song, what themes were you looking for?
Like I wanted to find some things that were just really about like the theme of the song and like the feeling of it. But then I also like, I already had a secret board for it. Like my biggest board that I'm always saving to is like a secretive, like artist inspiration and planning board. So I already have one made. And like from the beginning, I wanted Slow Burn to be like a very like whimsical, like witchy aesthetic. You know, like lots of candles and everything. So that was really like the main vibe is like candles, candlelight, and, you know, slow burns, all of that.
Right. It's cool that like it was very intentional. And it sounds like you really enjoy like the creative direction almost in the artistry that goes with your songwriting. Like there's such a visual component to it, which makes it even more like impactful. Can you talk a little bit about what is Slow Burn about? Like, what are these themes specifically?
So Slow Burn is about that it takes time to get wherever you want to go, you know, whether you're an artist or just in general in life. It's not even so much about imposter syndrome. Like there is aspects of that. And of course, like I have tons of imposter syndrome, but it's like really about the feeling that if it takes the average person, you know, 10 years to be a success in music or, you know, the arts, whatever, it's going to take, it feels like it's going to take me like twice the amount of time that anyone else. And like, maybe that's true, or maybe it isn't. And it's just what I think, but I know that at the end of it, like, it'll be worth it. Like, even if it takes me longer, it doesn't make what I do any less good or like worthy, but it's just going to take so long. And it's like, I can appreciate that it'll be worth it, but it also is very frustrating. And this is also where the imposter syndrome does come in, is like, if it's going to take me that long, why couldn't I have started like earlier than I did, even though I know I'm very young still,
but because
you know, there are other people my age who are already like that much further along because they did start earlier. Or if I had done that, I would already be that much further along.
The lyric that
really stood out to me that you already mentioned is the, I heard someone say it takes 10 years to be an overnight success. I think that's, mm-hmm. it's so true. And like, even I'm just thinking of artists that are like big now, people don't really consider like the backstory. Like Chapel Roan has been around for a mm-hmm. long time, had a different musical yeah. name. I'm sure there's a lot of people who think she just released a single when she like rolled out of bed and like now she's famous. Yeah. And it's like, no. I'm sure in like the scheme of things, it's hard to feel like, yeah, you're not behind. I relate to that so much in my music career. And like, I'm sure like everyone's favorite artist had had those thoughts at one point. But I think like mm-hmm. you having such a vision of like what you want to convey in your songwriting and having like such an established idea of how you want to present your artistry, like will keep you on the right track for sure. I'm older, so I can tell you you're young.
Yeah.
You have time. Yes. You have time. Yeah.
You're still young too, though.
Thank you. I was hoping you would say that. It's a good reminder too of that it's okay to be vulnerable and honest about the frustrations of it too. And like mm-hmm. people, I don't think feel super comfortable with vulnerability and like admitting something that is so universal, whether it's in your music career or just like turning, you know, 25 and your friends are like in a different stage than you in life and you're feeling behind. Yeah. So, like, I think so many people can relate to that song, like in whatever capacity. Have you like yeah. found sharing it on social media has been like, do you feel connected with people from that song?
I don't want to say no, but I also don't have a super high engagement rate on social media.
Fair, well, not yet.
But people that I've actually talked to, like, you know, yeah. I mean, my friends and other people, like, they all can relate. Like, if you're in your 20s or not, in your 30s, in whatever point of your life, it's like struggling to exist. Yeah.
Yeah. And but I think like that's even more to the point, like you are someone that can articulate it on people's behalves, too. Like some people may not mm-hmm. be able to quite identify or feel again, really isolated from it. But like having an outlet for those feelings is super special. And like so it's like a gift to be able to relate to people in that way and like be that voice for people to relate to.
Yeah.
Have you done like any like music videos or like any other content along with your music?
I did like a visualizer for Slow Burn, which is the first yes. time I did that. I've yet to do a music video, which I want to do like in the next year. I have this like grand idea for a music video. And like, I'm lucky that my brother, like what he actually does is like film and photography. So you know, coerce him into helping me. so like I have somebody to make a music video with, but then, well, if it can't be exactly what's in my brain, what's the point? Which is, right, you know, right. Which is silly, but like, but so I want to actually do a music video in the next year.
That's exciting.
Because even if nobody necessarily watches it yet, like it's still fun and cool. So.
And it's like another opportunity for a Pinterest board, I think.
Yes, absolutely. I'm working on a re-release of a project. So that project involves thought crime. So I'm like, this is my chance to actually make the music video for it.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. So can you talk a little bit about that? Like what's going on with the project, the re-release?
Yeah. Yeah. So I released my first album, Emotions Gallery, the fall of 2022. And so I'm currently working on revamped / reimagined version of it because like I love the concept and I love the songs, but like I kind of rushed myself with it. I was like, well, there's no reason I can't just like remake it. So that's where I'm at. Like that's my grand idea.
Nice, nice.
For my next like and I might it's gonna mostly be the same, except like the track list is going to be a little different and I might change it to just be an EP versus an album, but right. it's just going to be like a more magical version.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Do you re-record all of them or you're just kind of making tweaks to things?
For the most part, I'm going to be re-recording.
Oh, wow.
Like, cause really the thing, like I really want to have elevated like production and an arrangement. Right. That's kind of where I like settled with it. Like most of the songs are just like piano and vocals, mm-hmm. which I love, but it wasn't what was originally intended and like what I really want the songs to be. So I want to like the production and the arrangement, like really elevated that way. So yeah.
That's so cool. I think that's like something we've seen more of, I guess, in terms of like signed artists taking back their musical rights. Like I know Taylor really kind of pioneered that trend right now. But I think it's such a cool, like, new lease on life for a lot of songs that, like, deserve more recognition, or, like, it's more opportunity to reach new listeners that may resonate with it, like, now.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, too, is I, like, when I released the album, did I promote it? Not really.
Right, so, right, right.
Like, I didn't really have a grasp on any sense of actual, like, release rollout. So, that will be a big change as well.
Right. Right. And that's what's cool also about, and challenging, but really one of the advantages of being independent, I think, because you can have such creative control of that. Like, and it's yours, like you made it. So you should be able to do that. That's really exciting. Yeah. Do you have any other goals for your career this year? I mean, you already have a few, but
I want to do more performances and like, really, like I've been doing a lot of work on like elevating, to use that word again, elevating like my live performance. Part of that is I really want to finally like get band members to like actually play instruments while I'm singing, because I think that that would be a lot of fun and would just, you know, it's more entertaining when there's like more music and it's not just me at my keyboard or like guitar now. Yeah, so really being able to have like a more full sound performing, I think will be really cool. So that's one of my like major goals. Yeah,
definitely. That's really cool. And I also would think like being on stage with other people just sounds a lot like putting better. In my own personal bias, but yes, better for sure.
Yeah.
I think that will really empower you to like feel, especially to have like a band playing your own music must feel so cool for people who get to do that.
Yeah. Cause I also like I can play instruments, right? Like if I can just have somebody else play the instruments and I'm just singing, then I don't have to worry about playing it. I can just sing. So.
Right. Yeah. it's less things for you to be like stressed out about, and you can really put like your focus on the vocals and all that. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Yes. Yeah.
When you play live, you do play guitar at times. That's impressive.
I've like just kind of started like in the past few months doing that, which is really great because it's a lot easier to bring a guitar than lug a keyboard and a keyboard stand.
Right. That's what
everything.
I was thinking.
And I think it also like I love piano and people also, there are people that love piano, but I feel like people are more entertained if it's just going to be like one instrument. They're more entertained with the guitar than the keyboard. But because I'm no like maestro, like I'm not doing anything crazy on keyboard. Like it's, I think if there's going to be one instrument, guitar does sound more full, even if it's just like simple strumming. So. Yeah,
that's a good point. I don't know what why that's the case, but I do agree. And I think it is in terms of just like hauling stuff, but it's a lot easier.
Yes, it really is, especially for open mics.
Like, right,
a lot easier to have a guitar.
Oh my gosh, I'm sure. Yeah, my dad is a musician on the side, so he plays a lot of open mics, and like the number one thing he complains about is taking his keyboard because it's just such an ordeal.
Yeah,
have open mics been like a good exposure therapy for performing, would you say?
Definitely. Yeah, that's one of the things is I try to do a certain amount of open mics. Like, I mean, really, I would like to do like multiple every month, but it doesn't always work out that way. But yeah, because I think even if it's not an actual show, like, although like an open mic can be more scary because people, you know, might not at all be paying attention. Like it's just like at a restaurant where people are eating or whatever. But, but I think it's a really good, it's really good exposure to just like go and perform. And also like, even if it is sometimes more scary, it's like very low key. Like it's an open mic. It doesn't have to be a perfect performance. So
Right. Yeah. There's like realistic expectations of like no one's there to see Beyonce. Like it's open.
Yes,
it's
exactly. Open. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's great you do that. And I would imagine that's a really good tool.
Yeah.
Not to be like shady, but I'm sure there's people you see that are like, oh, if they can do that, I can definitely do that.
Yeah.
I've gone to many my open mics for my dad and I'm like, wow, he's like Elvis Presley compared to some people. Like, that's my dad, so yeah. Yeah, so I guess in terms of other things that are next, like are you still working on any new songs?
I have at all times so many songs that I'm writing.
Yeah.
And something another thing I want to get better at is like as I'm like writing songs, making like actual demos, because a lot of times I've just like written the song and it's like a voice memo, and then once I'm like, okay, I want to release this song, then I do a demo, and then it's like rushing to be like figuring out the production and all of that. So right. I want to get better at like, I have a song and I don't know when I'm releasing it, but let me actually create it so that when I do release it, it's ready.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's so crazy to think about how many unreleased songs like artists just must have.
Yeah.
Especially Taylor Swift, because she already releases so much.
I know. Oh my gosh.
That's what I loved about her like reissues too of albums that I think is interesting is like, you know, obviously there's redone versions of songs that people love, mm-hmm. but then she's always releasing like
the vault tracks.
Yes.
Yeah.
The vault tracks. Exactly. Yes. I don't know the lingo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of them are songs that like we might never have heard, like that she's held on to. Mm-hmm. But then some of them are also songs that like we have heard unofficially, but they're like songs that she didn't release in the era. Like they're songs that could have made the album but like didn't make it on for whatever reason. So then it's like a special gift for us is she's giving us more songs for the album.
Yeah And it's cool because it's like it's a little time capsule because her music has changed and evolved so much, so getting to hear something like of that your favorite Taylor Swift era of a song that you haven't heard, but it's so stylized in that like way. It's really cool. That's sort of what got me back into her was like when she released, I guess, was it Fearless? I don't know. When one of the old ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I was like, oh my gosh, this like makes me feel like I'm like that age again, but it's like, and it's really cool. She's impressive. I know people you can't deny it.
Even if she's not your cup of tea, have to respect it.
Absolutely, 100%. I think it's cool to see like how much she has helped push so many female artists this like past year or more than, and there I just think it's all very connected. Even like Sabrina Carpenter being her opener, like I think she's very intentional with like who she supports. And how do you go to see a lot of live shows?
Yeah, I do. I got to see the Eras Tour.
Okay,
so that was like nice. That was, oh my gosh, I can't. Like I went to two nights at the like Gillette shows here in Massachusetts, and like just, oh my gosh, so good. Like I wish I could. Like I just recently, I think like last week, was watching like back videos of her doing Love Story at different performances and like her past tours. Mm-hmm. And I was like so emotional. I was like, I can't even imagine like getting to witness that.
You'll be that person in like 10 years and you'll say you got to see the Eras Tour when people didn't. So
that's so true. And like, I have not been able to see Sabrina ever, which is just ridiculous. And I also I also now struggle to get Gracie Abrams tickets. And like, so there are these shows that it's like, no, I can't see. But at least I can say I got to see the Eras Tour, because a lot of people didn't. So.
Yeah. It's so crazy how hard it is to get tickets lately. I tried to get Sabrina tickets for her. Like, she added a bunch of New York shows.
Yeah.
I couldn't even get in the waiting room. I was like, okay.
it's devastating.
I think it has a lot to do with COVID and now everyone's just like touring and it's booming a lot. But like, I never
had an issue with that. It was always just such a, like, I'd wake up and be like, oh, I want to see, like, the Jonas Brothers, and then I'd just get tickets for the, like, it like felt hard, but now it's like a war.
I survived the Ticketmaster war for that record store.
Like, yeah, that's impressive.
I was in the queue for like 8 hours and then didn't get tickets and then was like, then like got another chance. So like,
wow.
Yeah. I have the battle scars.
You do. That is really impressive, to be honest. I remember thinking like, I'm so glad I'm not a Swiftie just for the sake of not having to stress out about
tickets. Yeah.
But it's really interesting. I mean, it's cool and I'm glad that people are going out and enjoying and supporting, but can it be a little cheaper, please?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was super fun. I have one last question. If you had to give your music career so far an album name, what would you title it?
I think that if I did, it would be The Thoughts and Emotions of Jenna May. Oh my gosh. You know what, though? As I have, I wrote like down some one that idea and some other ones in my journal. And I actually this is a good one. Soul of a Girl. Left in 2006.
Oh, I like that.
The Bewildering and Strange Curiosities of the Mind of Jenna May.
Ooh.
I have different variations, but yeah.
This is great because I like to title when people can come up with them. I title the podcast episode name. So now we have a good one. Yes. And I think it really sums up everything you shared. You have a very creative mind.
Oh, thank you.
I always am just so fascinated by songwriters and like their vulnerability. That's really admirable. And so I really appreciate you like taking the time to kind of give us a glimpse of it. And I'm like really, I'm about to go on Pinterest and like find your Pinterest stuff.
I'll send it to you. Yeah.
Amazing. Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Where can people find you?
I am, all my social media is May Rose and Magic. That's also my website. You can listen to me under Jenna May everywhere you listen to music.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. This was really, really fun, and I am excited for what's to come for you.
Thank you. I really appreciate you talking to me.